Jim Bear, joined by my buddy Bill Nicino. Just us today. It's been a while since it's just been us, you know.
This is episode 20.
This is Double X. If we're keeping it with the Roman numeral thing, which we do. Recently had Skull on, and really we spent a lot of time kind of just digesting our own pod. I feel like it's not quite smug. We enjoyed it. It was a very good pod, I think.
I think the five or six of you listening enjoyed it too, if you're being honest with yourselves.
But they're all people we meet, so it means a lot.
We know who you are.
We know who you are. We appreciate you.
We're talking to you directly, kid. I talk to a barber sometimes.
Nick, yeah.
Yeah, Nick. I'm talking to you right now. Nick.
Arguably our number one fan.
Yeah, we see you on Twitter.
We're trying to make this better.
We are.
And we're trying to bring life to this pod, too.
This might as well be a personal show for you, bud, so just sit back and enjoy it.
Speaking of bars, I did want to just kind of touch on that, because I know we'll probably, knowing us, I'm wearing a LeBron jersey. We touch on LeBron. We'll probably keep that
black t-shirt. We'll talk about race.
Boy, you look good.
We're not going to talk about race.
Maybe. I just wanted to start with something other than sports, and we both did work at the bar last night. We worked at the same bar.
Yeah.
And tonight we work again. The bar is a big part of our life. As big of a part of my life as sports is. And I just think it's interesting. Dynamics at a bar.
So
like, the whole thing. The regulars, the family atmosphere sometimes, the ups, the downs. It's just... I don't want to say it's a microcosm, but there's beauty.
We're talking about the dynamics of a dive bar. Like a neighborhood bar.
Not a pub. Not a club.
We're talking about the type of bar that the prototype was set by Cheers.
True. Yep.
Barbers is kind of like a Cheers type dynamic.
Right. That's.
I like how there's a line pretty much down the middle, and the regulars are on the grill side.
The inside of the bar. The deep inside.
Yeah, where like the dartboard is, and then the normies are down.
Yeah,
towards the booths, the
welcoming. It's nice out in front. The deeper you go inside, into the bar, metaphorically and actually.
So there's been a few classic depictions of dive bars in history. Cheers,
mm-hmm.
Piano Man, the song Piano Man.
The song Piano Man, yep.
What's your favorite archetype of a bar goer?
The idea, or like the people I most like to deal with,
let me
or just my most interesting.
So there's a few like archetypes of the people you see at a bar. Like every bar has this guy. There's the one guy who he's every bartender's best friend. You know, like he's the guy who lets
you
know.
Walked in, and you go, hey,
yeah.
What's up?
Like Norm was in Cheers,
right?
Or there's the other guy who tells you, or Schofield. There's the other guy who tells you he's tight with the bartenders.
Mm.
You'll be sitting there drinking, like, oh, yeah, I'm here every day. And, you know, you're not really sure that's something you should be proud of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then there's
the guy that's... Yeah,
the couple. There's always the regular couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a little inappropriate with each other.
Yep, there's the couple. There's probably a stable couple, and there's also the couple that really... They're fun to hang out with. You know, that's why they keep hanging out with those regulars at the bar.
There's a stable couple, but then there's a couple whose relationship is facilitated by the bar.
True.
Like, the bartender is playing, like, marriage counselor.
Right.
Like, their relationship...
That's one of my favorite parts about it at all, is that...
What
the bar means...
I'm not a psychiatrist, you
right.
are.
It's fun. It's my favorite part about the job. Other than that, really, I'm not making too many old fashions. Some martini. I can, but they don't come for that. It's really all about you pour the beer in a mason jar and then you, hey, how are you? And you say what's up. And some people open up more than others. It is a bit more like psychiatry. It's a friend to others. It's a friend to everybody, but it's just like, it's weird. It's just very different what the bar does by separating. Like, as soon as you step on the other side, and you mingle, and you're like, "Oh, I'm a bar goer now."
Mm-hmm.
But you're between them and their liquor, and that makes you a little more interesting and in control, and yeah, that affects the dynamic there, right?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, so I work as a bouncer. Jim's a bartender. If you didn't pick that up from what we were just talking about, so I kind of get the. I get two kinds of people. One is the kind of person who views me as like their enemy, so to speak.
The bouncer
those people are few and far between. Most people aren't total dicks or they're to cause trouble. Then there's the other dude who thinks that like he slaps you up, you're his best bud. He's there's a certain kind of guy who walks in and starts talking to the bar staff.
Right.
And that's kind of, it's a little weird.
There's a couple certain people. There's people that like company. That's the reason they're there.
People who work in a bar.
People who work in a bar.
Because like, we work in a college town, so other bar staff comes into our bar.
I think it's acceptable. Like, I like you. We're friends. We're podcasting right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool to, like, not dap up a bouncer and then more make friends with the bartender. That's natural.
I will say if you're there every day.
Oh, that, okay.
If you're there, if you're going to be there frequently, just say, hey, how you doing?
Oh, you're part of the mafia.
Yeah, Barber's Mafia.
Absolutely.
I am part of Barber's Mafia.
It's now, you're all part, like, whether you work there, it's not a ranking thing. It's just what you bring to the table, your identity, but you're still part of, you're still there. It's, oh, yeah, that guy bouncer, he's the man.
There's a certain kind of kid who walks in and he's like, oh, you're the bouncer, hi, how are you doing? He wants to shake your hand. It's like, it's kind of cool, I guess, but I don't know.
Well, the people that are real eager to shake your hand all the time are usually, I don't know.
Overly friendly. I'd rather have someone be overly friendly than fucking asshole.
Absolutely.
Overly unfriendly.
As long as you're just not standoffish, really. Just totally detached. Just, you know what I mean? One of those kinds of people that are just cold. Like, if you're, I'd rather have you be a dick to me or be warm to me rather than just, hey, and I don't know, I can't get a read on you. And that goes beyond the bar setting.
Yeah, so there's a couple different kinds of bouncers. There's the bouncers who definitely think they have a lot of authority.
There's the ex-military guy, or the guy that used to be a fighter, or this guy that has some kind of background in just being physical.
Yeah,
and
he
has a hard life.
He wants your respect.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I don't really stray towards that side. I'm more there to watch some games, crush a pitcher of popcorn, get a free meal, maybe break up a fight if it happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's been some other guys that are just big and have a cool, calm disposition, aren't like that first group I described, and they're just chill. They just, hey, I'm a peacekeeper.
Do you think most bouncers want to fight or no?
It depends, because we just, I think those are the two, I think those are just the two kinds of people. I don't, there are other, I mean, everybody's got their own story. I just drew some pretty fucking esoteric lines there, but.
If you're applying to be a bouncer, you have to know in the back of your head that there's a possibility you're involved in an altercation.
Right. And it's whether you're doing it for that, or if that's truly something that you'd like to avoid, as it should be.
And if you want to avoid it, like, that's probably not the best job for you, because, like, you're out there...
Not avoid it, but ultimately, like, as a last resort.
You're there to defuse situations.
A peacekeeper. Yeah.
Right.
Well, isn't Hell's Angels...
And also check IDs.
Does Hell's Angels run security for somebody, right?
They used to run it for Camp Bisco Music Festival that I used to go to.
Did that go well or not?
No, it did not.
I was going to say. They
did,
were not peacekeepers,
they did
right?
Security at Woodstock, didn't they? They definitely did security at, I forget what festival it was.
So,
it was
so those are generally that first type of bouncer for the most part, right? The guys that are
bikers and shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'd rather be at a bar where the bouncers are intimidating than not, because I'm not. If I'm in a bar, I'm probably not going to have any bouncer interaction.
You know who sneaky, one of my favorite archetypes of a...
Bar goer
is?
Who?
The distant, but sometimes warm guy that you know there's... You can't... Like I said, you can't get a read on him. And it's like, there's something... Like, this guy has something about him. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't... He might have killed somebody. I don't know. Like, what his deal is. Real... Sits by himself in the corner...
Yeah.
Shakes your hand, tips you nice.
Yeah. I like the guys who don't talk to you much, but then when they do talk to you, they're like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best ones. Those are the ones you're always like, yeah, he's a good dude.
Alcohol makes friends.
I like the like seasoned alcoholics who come into, you know.
The ones that really just put them back, or the ones that are longevity? What are we talking here?
Yeah. I'm talking the guy who's been drinking for like 30, 40 years. Like, they are not rookies.
They know what they want. They have it down. I don't see them enough. Whatever. It's
there's something to be said for being a seasoned alcoholic.
Like Bud Light,
age.
Double shot of tequila on the rocks, and this guy a $70 tab in an hour. You know, like
a hardcore alcoholic.
It's sad, I guess, if you look at it that way. But
the standard,
to
me, like working man's quote unquote bar order is a shot of beer. Like I just got off my union job. I'm here at the bar.
Whiskey and a Budweiser.
Shot of beer. I feel like it's gone away.
No. I mean, maybe in my personal experience, not anecdotal. Guys
get a shot of beer.
Yeah.
That's a
in
classic order.
In and out. Pretty cool. There's something classic about it. There's been a couple times, too, that this is a little unrelated, but where guys have just, you know, for a soldier or whatever, bought a beer, bought a shot, just set up their name right there and just let it, you know, just let that post out for the night or something like that, you know?
What the soldier drink on that? That's pretty cool. I have respect for the military.
Yeah.
Our nation's heroes.
Oh, man.
What?
It's so crazy. I guess the main thing about a bar for me that is, I don't know. Let me just get to it. Jeez, I'm fucking rambling. It's like everybody's just sad. Everybody has all these
what?
Sad.
Come on.
No. I'm bringing it back around. Like everybody has issues, and a lot of times alcohol is like a way to deal with that, and you're giving that person just a mean to cope, whatever.
Well,
but it kind of is. It's not talked about, and it's beautiful. And the fact that you go there and you forget everything, and it's just I'm coming here for this. I'm coming here to drink. I'm either here to have a good time. It's none of your business why I'm here. I'm giving you money. And it's just you forget the bad. And it's just everybody's coming together for all, like, for the most part, like, the drama and bullshit, it's, like, non-existent or it's lighthearted, you know? A lot of times, we're here at the bar to have fun.
The regulars are a family. That's what the bar is. Like, everyone's sad and everyone's got their
but
shit.
Cheers.
They're all family.
Right.
And, you know, I've always got this impression when I go to, like, a neighborhood bar and I'm not a regular there.
Right.
I feel like I'm kind of walking into someone else's Thanksgiving. You know, like, there's definitely, like...
You gotta bring something to the table. Just approach cautiously. And, like,
what
hey,
I bring to the table is to stay out of their way.
It's liquor. That's the answer. It's
well,
always liquor. Shots. Guys, hey, nice to meet you. Handshakes. And then you kind of linger on the fringe. Maybe show up the next day, do the same thing, and then you're in there. That's it. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean... You pick the drunkest guy there and buy him a drink. It's like prison. You find the biggest guy.
Find the weakest link.
Well, I mean, the drunkest guy in the crew of regulars, he's probably the chief. There's a hierarchy.
Do you think the more you drink, the higher you... Let me think about this. I think bargoers do think that.
Yeah.
It's made up.
Well, they're the most heavily
really,
tied in.
Yeah, right.
They're
usually
the most heavily leaning on the bar.
But the people that buy the most aren't always the
I'm not
best
talking about
tippers.
The ones who buy the most, probably about the drunkest. The people who are there, like it's real
bar champ.
It's
yeah.
real primal. Like when you're
yeah,
with a girl, like you're there to fuck her. When you're in a bar, you're there to get drunk.
Okay. Alright.
Like all the other stuff, like, oh, let's go to the mall, like you're dating a girl, that's all that like human companionship shit. That's not what you're there for. You're there for a clam. Same with the bar. You're there to get drunk on their liquor in a place that's not your house.
And as a bartender, it's your job to give them that liquor and just make them have a good time. Because
yeah.
if they're smiling, they tip more. And so everybody's smiling. And it's...
And he, in the land of the drunks, he who is drunkest is king, right?
Yes.
Those are the guys who are really, like, getting it. Like, all the other guys that come, they play some darts. It's their social time.
So, man.
That's great. I love those people. But I really love the guys who just come in, like...
Was it in a podcast when I brought up that idea for that movie at the bar?
Shawshank Redemption 2.
No, not Shawshank Redemption 2. The one I pitched with where it's the guy's father dies and he has to outdrink
yes.
him like in Indiana Jones. Oh,
yeah.
That was on a podcast?
No, I don't remember if it was. It was
but,
a
yeah.
bastardization of Field of Dreams.
I had no idea, okay?
It was.
Whatever. It's a pretty cool idea, right?
It was, dude.
Bar of Dreams.
It was Field of Dreams meets a Roadhouse without like the villain. It was weird.
He could make... No, the villain's his dad, and he's a ghost.
Yeah, and then he... It's Field of Dreams, dude.
And he outdrinks him like an Indiana Jones.
Right, it's Field of Dreams.
No, but the game matters. It's not getting the game together. It's all about the final showdown, where
yeah,
they're just slugging
just like
shots.
Field of Dreams.
Alright.
It was all these old ball players came back, and then... Because the whole time he was hearing, if you build it, they will come, meaning the guys.
Right.
But then in the end, it was, no, if you build it, he will come. It was this strange dad who was a baseball player.
Yeah.
And then he has a catch with him. That's
yeah.
Field of Dreams. That's Field of Dreams. I got nothing around it.
Pretty cool, right? Right.
I mean, I like
Do you have anything?
Dreams. Yeah, we're still talking about bars.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not talking about podcasts. I'm just saying, any movie ideas that you got lurking?
No, we're not talking about fucking movies anymore.
It's one of my favorites, though.
I know it's one of your favorites, but it gets
what do the people want to hear? Hit us up.
I like the people who, like, see, work in the back door of the bar near the bathrooms. You're way more in tune to, and we're lucky because we have a one-person ladies room, and so you don't get, like, the pack of six girls to go in there. Like, I always wonder, like, what do girls do in the ladies room when they're out drinking? You know, like, 10 of them go in. I always assume that they, like, kind of, like, critique each other. Like, oh, it's a nice clam. Like,
from what I hear, all the memes being shared on Facebook and shit was, like, it's all, like, they've never seen women more supportive than when they're in the bathroom together.
I assume they're just in there talking about, like, dude, dick, right?
Over that,
you're getting dick.
What are we talking?
Yeah, you're getting dick.
No, it's usually just juvenile in the bathrooms, I feel like. If you're at a packed bar, yeah, this is good. We're transitioning to bar bathrooms. In a bar bathroom and it's packed and everybody's real drunk late at night, it's usually like somebody farts, somebody makes an inappropriate joke, and everybody's laughing.
You know what brings the house down if you're at a bar? Sat next to a guy taking a piss?
Go ahead.
Just hit him with nice dick.
Oh my god.
Brings the house down, dude. It's risky, though, because, like, you gotta be like a certain kind of guy. You can't just put nice dick. Like, that's not.
Hey! Nice dick.
It's gotta be, like, funny. Like, if there's any uncertainty, don't go.
You kind of, like, look around. I'm picturing George Costanza, like, in the middle stall, just, like, looking at both guys. You have to make eye contact, and then just...
We used to say that in high school, like, we'd call someone a middle stall kind of guy.
Ooh.
That's so brutal.
It is weird. That's... You hardly ever see it, but it
there
is...
There needs to be splash guards.
When there's spacing, you know, say...
That's what that thing is called, the divider. It's called a splash guard. Every bar should, every public restaurant should have one, a wall between the urinals. I don't want to see someone else's business.
No, right. I don't want just fucking, and then you hone in on that piece of linoleum or whatever
it is. What do you do with your offhand when you're pissing at a bar? I'm big on putting it up on the wall. Yeah. Sometimes we're really fucked up leaning.
Forearm up against the wall.
Yeah.
Head leaning against it.
Yeah.
Maybe you moan a little bit.
Park it right on the hip.
Really painting the picture there.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful about...
The men's room is not... There's not really a lot of interaction.
Stupid graffiti.
There's, like, graffiti, but there's not, like, any interaction amongst men in there, you know?
Sometimes. No, I feel... No, if it's really packed and you're really drunk, I have no problem, like, reaching my... No, I'm just kidding.
reach under the stall.
No, like, when you're just opening... Oh, the door's open, you can still hear music... It's like you're still in the bar, and you just walked in here, and now I'm hanging out with these guys while we're waiting to piss. I don't talk to anybody with my dick in my hand.
I don't do any of this. Once I'm in the bathroom, it's no conversation for me.
Okay. I mean, definitely not while I'm pissing or they're pissing, for the most part. Unless somebody makes a comment over my shoulder.
The exception might be in the stall
put their hand on
if
my
you're
neck.
Taking a shit next to them. I remember at Camp Visco last year, there was, like, this indoor bathrooms, and they were, like, it was, like, rows of four of them, like, four stalls. I remember I was in there, and all of a sudden, I don't have any toilet paper. I'm like, yo, there's no paper in here. And someone from down there goes, yo, there's no paper in here either. Someone from across goes, yo, I'm sending some over. And we're, like, throwing toilet paper over the stalls. We're throwing wet wipes. People are wiping their asses.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was fucked.
Anarchy.
It's at a music festival, too, so, like, drugs are involved.
Oh, of course. What else we got in bars? Staff?
So we never. What happens in the women's room?
We'll get a woman on sometime. Wait, who do we?
That's the big get. When will we get a woman on this show?
When will we get a woman that wants to come on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, my bench isn't that deep.
I got nothing right now. It's a weird time for me.
I might be able to get someone. I gotta do something.
Actually, no. I have a couple. Yeah, we'll see. So what? That'll be a get. But outside of that, the bar. Management, how would you run it? Say you got a bar. You're picturing the most basic bar.
We're off of what women do in the bathroom.
We don't know. We'll find out.
Even in that single bathroom that I watch, two or three girls go in sometimes. It's like, look, well, I'm assuming one of you is using the bathroom.
One of them using, touching up her makeup in the mirror.
Yeah, and then the other just like, oh, nice makeup.
And they rotate or
something. Nice clam. Clam's looking good. I don't know.
Is the nice clam, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Is the nice clam the nice dick of... Men's rooms? Or
no, because I think girls kind of, like see each other naked more, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Like, female friends kind of, like... Haven't you ever noticed that? They kind of, like...
It's very supportive, too.
Yeah, but they're, like... They, like,
it's
see
healthy.
Each other naked.
It's healthy.
How do my tits look? This and that. Like, I'd never be like getting ready to go out with you and be like, yeah, how's my dick hanging, bro?
How's my dick looking?
You think my muscles are popping, dude?
Bro, you gotta get a pump real quick, you know? Get down there.
Like, give it a few jerks, get it like, hard.
I was gonna think push ups.
Oh. That's a
power push ups.
That's a power move, though, if you're about to be with a girl and you kind of stroke him a little so he's not going into battle. Like,
you can't.
So,
I mean, you know.
You gotta get a stretch in before you're on.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta stroke him a little.
You don't go in there and try to bench.
Especially with a liquor
something
flowing.
Heavy.
Especially with a liquor flowing. All right, so we don't really know what goes on in the women's room.
No, and I don't think we'll find out.
We will. Our next podcast, we will take a trip into the women's room. It's going to be episode 21, No Rules Podcast.
The women's bathroom
journey into the women's bathroom. Turn that fucking shit off. That'll be my get. That's what I'm bringing. I'll find a woman who will come on and answer our questions.
That's fair. I want that.
Possibly.
Anything else with the bar?
Let's talk more about the bar. So then there's jukebox guy. There's a guy who's like, he's the DJ, you know, and he's pumping it. He's spending money, of course, to do this.
A lot of, like, somebody last night put 20 in. That was pretty awesome. They were in control the entire night. You can get,
yeah.
It gets you 55 credits, which can get you 55 one-credit songs or, you know, 27 regular songs.
Right.
So a good amount, like probably 30 songs.
Oh, yeah. Minimum hour.
Hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and a half.
Man, but yeah, the music that is playing affects things.
Jukebox guy wants everyone to have a good time, and they're gonna get the party started, and invariably it's gonna be 80s music. It's gonna be Motley Crue.
Ideally, yes. That's I know a couple of people like that, and they're beautiful. It brings a life to the bar. You play Van Halen or
if
Motley
you put
Crue
on Def Leppard in a bar, you're my buddy.
Yep. Absolutely.
Real late last night, I was singing American Girl at the front with a couple of those kids who were up there.
What are songs that, or types of music that you, when you hear them, you're like, ah, damn it, this song again?
Rap. Any rap song.
Any rap. Country?
How do you
feel about country? Hit and miss?
I can take it or leave it. What's your all-time bar song? It comes on, everyone's singing. A couple weekends ago at Barber's, the whole bar got into Living on a Prayer a little bit.
Yep, Living on a Prayer.
Don't Stop Believing in Sweet Caroline for me, right?
Sweet Caroline, absolutely.
Don't Stop Believing is way up there, though. Same with
Ignition.
Shout by the Isley
Ignition
Brothers.
Never, ever fails. That song...
don't know the words to that.
Ignition?
They know the words to the chorus, but like... There's
Mr.
no like...
Mr. Brightside?
I'm thinking like, you know, Shout, like, especially
yes,
in Leicester,
cool.
New York. I'm surprised that doesn't get more play at Barber's. You put that on the whole... I'm going to put that on tonight.
Do it. Absolutely. This is Saturday night. We're going into this. We're going to play some bangers. Let's put some money in the jukebox.
I'm not spending that much money.
Oh, let's go. No.
There's an app. You can do it from your phone. You know that, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's really two different softwares, and that's how jukeboxes work now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's quite the bar podcast.
Jukebox guy is sweet. Who else is there? Obviously, the creepy guys. See, here's a dilemma.
Mm, yeah. Okay, hit me with it.
Here's a dilemma I run into that you don't. Because you're a bartender, and it's cool for you to hit on girls. I'm a bouncer. It's not cool for me to hit on girls. Sometimes, like, I'll be taught.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know, man.
There'll be a girl standing there. Like, even if she's by herself, I'll be like, oh, hey, how's your night going? Like, whatever.
Proximity matters a lot, I think.
But
you're right. You're right.
But then I think I'm maybe about to start talking to this girl, and I'm like, you don't want to be... She doesn't want the fucking bouncer hitting on her. Every girl I've ever gone out with has bitched about a bouncer hitting on them. No one ever bitches at the bartender.
I think you can just be friendly, smile, be there. And,
but the ability to pull is so diminished.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you're right
the
there.
Bar, like, just like the bar...
It's
I said,
fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
You know, the one way you can get around it is if you let underage kids in, but that's...
That's not a good way, yeah.
Because the bartender, the girls, you know, they're ostensibly assuming that at some point they'll get free drinks.
Right.
I have nothing to offer them unless I'm getting their underage friends in. But you can't
that's
do that.
Not, okay, yeah.
You can't advertise it either. Like, hey, you got any friends who are underage? I'll get them in if you pull me.
Jeez.
If you talk to me, I'll let your friends in. And you're like a certain late night.
The kid, oh, man. How about the young kid that's 22, comes in... Backwards hat. He's like, hey, give me yeah. That's what he's ordering, that kid.
Vodka Red Bull, Yager Bomb.
All right.
Something with a fireball, liquor.
Hands you a credit card, and you say, open or closed. And he says, what?
Oh, and he doesn't know what that means. Yeah. That's the best when you get people who are like, they're trying to run the bar, but they're still kind of inexperienced, so they don't understand certain things.
Mm-hmm. Or they close the tab four times, four $2 tabs.
I mean, that's probably more of an inconvenience for you. I have a problem with it.
When it's late night, high volume, I don't ask. I mean, I'm like, you know, if they buy one drink, I'm leaving it open.
Right.
I just walk away, and
that's what about the people who bring their kids to the bar? Because we have the bar we work
at. What time is it?
The bar we work at is a restaurant as well.
Right.
So it's open all day. But there's that, like, hour between 9 and 10 where the families are still clearing out. Like, last night
when they're still there from dinner. They're lingering and having a good time.
Like, I went in last night around 8:30, and there was, like, a family in with, like, young kids. And they didn't leave till almost 9:30. I was like, you know, it is summer, so it's a little different, but, like,
10 o'clock,
this was in full swing, man. Like, I don't know if your kids should be around that.
The explicit filter comes off the jukebox at 10 o'clock, so I feel like it is, yeah.
Ooh,
so we can really start playing some lewd stuff.
Well, 10 o'clock is when the bouncer comes on duty, too, so 10 o'clock is kind of the universal, like, there's no more kids in here after those.
Piano Man.
That's a sad song to play in some bars. It hits a little too close to home. Everyone's kind of laughing, and then they're like,
Tiny Dancer.
Yeah, I mean, Tiny Dancer, I suppose. Are these, like, the songs you like hearing in a bar? Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's a song that no one really knows the words to, but they know how it goes.
I mean, you most
I know.
I know. Yeah.
I know all the words as well.
Yeah. Easy come, easy go, you know.
There's no Zeppelin song that you could really plug in there.
Many times I love... No.
Do you know the name of that song you just were saying?
Over the Hills and Far Away.
Yeah, you're right. Man. There's some great sing-along songs out there. They're all 80s songs. Don't Stop Believing is the, you know.
That's, man.
I would get up on
a here's a story. I was on the cruise, and me and my girlfriend's brother.
Your girlfriend? Ostensibly speaking.
Ex-girlfriend's brother, right? Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No. But, yeah, oh! we're out there. We're playing karaoke at this bar, and they split us into teams of five, and they play a song, and just somebody from your team has to run up and grab the mic and guess the name of the song or, you know, say it. So it's not a lot of people. It's honestly just me and this kid back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Super and the last song... It was all, like, stereotypes. You know all these songs. It was, like, Wannabe by the Spice Girls and that kind of stuff. And just,
cool, fun.
Living on a Prayer. Yeah. And people are watching this for some reason. It was a good time. Everybody's drinking. Whatever. So the last song, he's like, all right, this is the last song. And he just got out there and snagged it before the music even started. He's like, he had it in his hand. And then went, dip. He's like, Don't Stop Believing. He's like, dude, are you kidding me?
I think he knew it was coming.
No, he did. He said that. He grabbed the mic and he said, dude, are you kidding me? Like, you think I didn't know that we were going to play Don't Stop Believing? And I had a hunch. And I was,
were you pissed?
No, I wasn't pissed. It was a good time. He cracked it. Everybody up. It was funny. But yeah.
Whenever the first, like...
Those songs have reached a level of overplayedness. Since, like, I don't know. At this point, they just haven't died. And it's like, it's cool, but... Oh, man, do I really got to hear Don't Stop Believing?
Snapchat. Don't Stop Believing is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Do you think it's one of the all-time best songs?
Oh, without question. Without question, dude. It's possibly the greatest song of all time.
It is. It's the most, sing-songy. The song you want to play in maybe not the song that you most want to hear in a bar. But the song that is just never, ever, ever misses.
Bro, you want to hear some fuck shit? I took a big round country road trip last summer, and we outfitted the rental car with Sirius, because of course we did. You had to. And obviously, like, 80s radio was on there. And so we're driving. It's like a couple hours into the trip. We got, you know, many days in the car. And Don't Stop Believing comes on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Don't Stop Believing. Sing along if you know the words. And, you know, I'm just messing around. I'm getting ready to sing, all of a sudden I hear, the song fucking sucks. I was like, excuse me? Like, this song fucking sucks.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, Journey sucks. I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do you...
that's one of the greatest songs ever recorded.
Yeah. It's Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah. Believing.
Yeah, Don't Stop Believing. The fucking Sopranos ended on Don't Stop Believing.
That's a great point.
Sorry, that's my Tinder going off. The Sopranos ended on Don't Stop Believing.
For a reason.
And because it's the greatest fucking song ever played.
Right. That was one of my drunk freshman stories. So I guess I was on a bus, there's no music, and I started singing and got everybody else singing.
Yeah.
I found out about it the next day. I was on that bus, man, and then that kid started singing. It was from like, it was even somebody I knew, it was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, drinking is fun.
I can be anywhere, and if I hear just a small town boy, I'm in. For the next like 3 minutes and 50 seconds, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in. You got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
There's other just it's got to be high tempo, heavy music, generally, right? That's the formula.
It's just a small town girl, not just a small town boy.
No, yeah,
just a small town girl.
Yeah.
Lonely words.
We're not doing this right now. Yeah.
I'm gonna play that song so many fucking times tonight. I'm gonna put $50 into the jukebox and play Don't Stop Believing that many times.
Ooh. That was John Mulaney did a good bit about that. He played What's New Pussycat like 3 times in a row, and then he played a different song, and then played What's New Pussycat like 5 times.
There was an article on Vice or somewhere where a guy went into a bar and did that. He played the same song like 20 times in a row.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Dude, what if we had Sandstorm on loop?
That'd just be stupid. Sandstorm is too... It's 2 barbers. There would be people who are legitimately happy to hear Sandstorm. Like, oh, the song bangs. Like, when I hear Sandstorm...
I'm playing it tonight.
I think about, like, being a dickheaded high school kid playing it in my van. That was Sandstorm.
I'm playing it tonight.
All right.
How weird can we get? What are songs that you can play at a bar and really shake things up?
It's a Salmon Dance when we were in college.
Salmon Dance. That was, yeah, high tempo, happy, and
Break
weird.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Limp Bizkit.
Mm-hmm.
Some Blink-182, I gotta believe.
That shit sucks. That's maybe like my buddy saying, Don't Stop Believing sucks. Mm-hmm. Don't Stop Believing doesn't suck.
Blink-182 doesn't suck either. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's Fat Lip.
Yeah,
that's fucking...
Sub 41. Maybe Blink-182
I guess this is growing up, you know? Fam, was that the bar podcast?
I think we still got more to talk about.
You got juice in the tank? I guess we're both.
I got juice in the tank. So moving along from Creepy Guy, because, you know, we've been over how the bouncers can't hit on girls with more time than can. So you got Creepy Guy who's, like, hitting on the girls, especially in a college bar.
And as a bartender or a bouncer, you're almost
as a bouncer
intervening.
As a bouncer, I'm looking for that.
Yeah, you're, like, waiting for it to get weird a little bit, waiting for him to toe the line so you can just be like, yeah, nope.
I'm waiting for her to say something to, like, one of her friends, and I'll go over it.
Saw somebody get maced because of that by the police.
That's not good.
No.
Was he drunk?
Yeah, he was drunk and creepy, but it was...
drugs?
Potentially. And, yeah. So I was like, hey, buddy, stop being creepy. And so I separated them, and then he got... angry, and then I was like, the cops are coming.
He wasn't pleased.
And he wasn't pleased. The cops, he was not going with the cops, and
got mazed. So moving along, there's, in a college bar, there's the guy who, and invariably, there's the guy who the question, are you still in college, applies to. Do you go here? There's that guy who's like, kind of, looks like a college kid. It's like, do you
but
go
he
here?
Might be 30.
Yeah.
And you go here?
I used to. That's a bit, we have some beloved people who.
Do you think? Yeah.
Ourselves included, honestly.
It's different. No, it's just in a college town. It's like, all right, constantly rotating large numbers of like 21 to 24 year olds.
Yeah.
And
I'm like Wooderson now, dude. They get older. I say the same age.
All right.
The same age. They get older and then they go back to being
21. McConaughey is one of those guys for just movies.
Is every movie
Island movie.
Good.
No, yeah, only watching him for the rest of your life.
I'd still take Christian Bale. Well, no, I'd take Samuel L. Jackson because of the breath.
I think I'm going Hanks.
Honestly, man, I might pick a porn actor. And really, like,
I don't think so.
Look out for number one.
Because just the amount of...
you don't watch porn, you're like,
every Tom Hanks movie is very high production value.
But how, you gonna jerk off to the production value?
No, there's...
You're on an island, dude, you gonna fuck the wildlife? You're on an island, you can only watch one actor's movies the rest of your life. And you're not
Tom
looking
Hanks.
At porn.
Was he ever... He was in romantic comedies, right?
Yeah, you can't jerk off to a rom-com. Will you pound it to Jerry Maguire?
If I got him.
You don't have to.
I'd rather have wholesome think not. And the spank bank. You're never getting laid again. What does seeing boobs or a dick do for you, you know?
It's there. I don't know. If you're on a desert island, no other people, but there's animals, do you cross over?
I'm sorry?
Like 10 years into it, maybe. You haven't been laid in like 10 years.
No.
Maybe fucking
no.
Animal.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do, honestly.
It's depressed.
Is it? I don't think it's depraved, dude. I think it's like when guys go to prison and they bang each other. It's not because they turn gay. It's because that's the subject of the...
As long as you're not, like, trying to run things down and just raping animals. If you maybe think, no, it's fucked up.
Like
I'm not entertaining this right now. Nope.
100
rapists. That's
the most dangerous game. I'd be desperately waiting for someone else to land on the island.
What about bar sports?
Could you imagine being on that island and you're like, you become like the hunter rapist, most dangerous game guy, and all of a sudden someone else walks up on the island and you're like, perfect, it's a fucking dude. Because
you're somewhere I'm not right now.
You've already crossed over to animals. You gotta cross over.
I have
dudes.
No, you're not. You have.
I have. Am I gonna cross over to dudes too? I don't know. I'd probably eat them.
Okay.
You don't hunt a man.
You don't
hunt a man.
How about bar sports?
What about, like golden tee?
Ooh, darts.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like the guys who hustle. There are some darts players at Barbers who are legitimately very good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Same with CNS and their pool table.
Yep.
Those guys try to hustle college kids, though.
There's the guys watching sports on 7 different screens.
Degenerate gamblers. I like the people who play quick draw.
Sports fans, too.
I like the people who play quick draw.
Yeah, quick draw.
There were a couple buddies in there last night. These two dudes who were, like, pals at the other end of the bar. They were watching quick draw. They played a bunch. It was, like, sweet.
Was that Joe?
I'm
sorry.
It wasn't anyone I knew.
Okay. Well, just...
Quick draw is so simplistic. It satisfies, like, the most, like, basic compulsive gambling.
You
want to
bet a number? All right, here you go. try it again.
That's exactly what it is. These numbers will appear randomly. Bet on it. It's like, all right, I guess. It's literally just, it's like heroin.
No, it's something lighter.
I mean, for a gambler,
it's a cigarette.
Gambling heroin.
It's a cigarette.
It's quick, it's dirty, it's your fix.
Guess so.
Like I can't, like, hey man, you want to bet on some numbers?
It's a cupcake.
Like, you start with opiates. So, you know, you're rocking some oxys. But then it starts to get a little too much money for
me. I don't like the you part of this.
Well,
I get what you're talking about.
I'm putting you in my situation. So you're taking the oxys, and, you know, it's starting to get expensive. Street price oxys a lot. And then suddenly someone's like, hey, kid, you ever try heroin? That's how it is. It's like, man, like, I wish I could get to the OTB. Ugh. And then the quick draw, it's like, hey, kid, you ever bet on numbers? And it's like, bet on numbers? It's like, yeah, you fucking tie this tube around your arm, you slap it a few times to find a vein.
You want
to
bet five? Bet five.
Yeah,
no.
This number comes up, and if it's your number, you win. It's like, what do I win? I don't know, but your number comes up. You just keep doing it.
I've won big on a quick draw a couple times.
Really? How do you win? Your number comes up?
Yeah, there's a group of numbers that these guys believe, or have, I mean, they're numbers, and I've adopted them, and they've done me okay sometimes.
Oh my god. Someone has a quick draw system?
Not really a system. It's just four numbers.
Uh-huh. What are they?
You really want to know?
Is 42 one of them?
No. There are a couple other ones, too. But it's 111.
111.
22 and 80.
22 and 80. And those have been treating you well?
And they've been rolling with them. Okay. Decent, yeah. It keeps me rolling.
I'm going to give those to people if I see them tonight. I'm like, yeah, I got some numbers I can't miss.
I'm just gonna be putting so much money in the quick draw and just not taking it out.
Yeah, dude, let's fucking go quick draw.
Oh man, I'm excited to work Bar life is fun, man. You're excited to go to the bar because people are happy there.
I wish, like, the timetable for bars flipped.
If it was cooler in the day?
Yeah, it's like the bouncer... I bounce till like 4 in the afternoon and then leave. It does suck getting home that late. It's like, oh, fuck.
It would really throw things off, though. Because, like, then you're either sleeping for 12 hours or, you know what I mean? Because you're getting out of the bar. So if you're like you just said, you flip things and you're drinking in the day.
Yeah, I'm moving. I'm active.
Yeah, and then you're drunk by, like, afternoon and then you're done. Is that all there is to talk about?
No, there's much more.
Oh, there is.
So then, you got the bros.
Hey!
You like bros?
I like bros, yeah. There's bros and there's douche bros. You know what I mean? Douches who kind of look like bros.
How'd you just discern between a douche and a bro?
Mannerisms. Tipping well. Just general manners. You know what I mean? Just guys that like shake your hand, look you in the eye, say, yes, I will do this. Or guys that are, you know?
Kevin.
Nah. Kevin's a bro.
Total bro. I like bros. I don't like douches. Yeah. I'm a douchebag, though, to be fair. I can be a real douchebag to service industry people, too.
How about the people that are just there? You don't know if they have a job.
Fillers?
Yeah.
Like the regulars who don't make themselves known to you. That's the guy I don't understand. The bar regular who none of the workers know. It's like, yeah, he's here all the time, but I don't really know his backstory.
Is that kind of like the guy I described earlier? That I was like, no, he's not.
It's like the man from nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, he's here all the time, but he doesn't really want to talk to anyone.
An extra.
But he's always there.
Why hasn't he made it known?
He's like the guy on the couch in Half-Baked.
Is there a guy? I don't know if there's a guy. I feel like if they come in regularly, I recognize them.
You might recognize them, but...
I don't engage with... Yeah, I don't know them.
They don't talk to you.
That's right.
I don't know if we have any like that, but...
Yeah, no, we do. There is... Yeah, I'm sure everybody
guy
does.
Who's there a lot, no one really knows him. He gets his order, sits there drinking, goes home. Man, what a fucking life. Do you like the idea of a neighborhood bar for your own life?
Yeah.
When I'm older,
I it would be cool. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to make my nearest bar or one of the nearer bars my place just out of default, but I like the idea of it.
I think every neighborhood should have, like, a corner bar.
I agree.
But could you imagine if this neighborhood had one? You just go down there.
Right.
Like, everyone just chill. Drinks.
Why doesn't that happen more?
I don't know. Isn't a bar the most popular small business startup idea?
I was about to say.
It's tough. Being a bar isn't easy.
No. And there's a lot of them. But you're right. If you just put them in a neighborhood, right? You smack dab in the middle or on the corner, or just, you know, like...
Just like right here.
A small little
two
thing.
Two doors down, there's a corner bar.
Yeah, with like fits 100 maybe.
Yeah, like barbers.
Yeah.
Even smaller.
Yeah.
Just like a counter.
Yep.
It's a place to get drunk a little bit.
And hang out, play some music at a reasonable volume.
Yeah.
Watch some sports if you want to.
Fuck, man, I love bars.
Bars are awesome.
They're an important part of American culture.
It's a very American thing,
especially
isn't it?
The dive bar in particular. Mm-hmm. The dive bar is a very uniquely American concept because only in America do we like fetishize things that aren't great. Like a dive bar that has a charm because it's a shithole, you know. Like in any other country,
the worse it looks, the better it is.
Yeah, like in other like imagine being in like Germany or France. Like yeah, I know this great bar. It's a shithole. They'd be like, fuck that, you know why?
Right.
I mean, I guess it would be different opinions in each country, but...
It has to be old.
It'd be like, I don't want to go to a
shit. It'd look old.
Like, no, you don't understand. Like, this place is shitty. Like, the drinks are cheap, it's full of weird people, and it's a dive.
Yeah.
And people would be like, yeah, no, I don't want to go. No, you don't understand. It's tiny in there, right? Like, it's really small. You can't dance. No women. It's great.
I'm in. Something about that...
Sometimes they let you smoke cigarettes in there.
Yeah.
It's great. You can't undo.
When did that become a thing?
What?
Not allowed to smoke in the mid-90s?
Somewhere like that.
Remember that, you know, Kramer smoking in the bar?
I can remember being in restaurants where they had smoking section.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got for bar regular or bar goers? Girls.
Girls? Yeah, we haven't touched on girls at all.
Girls are kind of all in their own category for me. Well, there's two kinds. Nah. One is the girl who's clearly there on the prowl.
Yeah.
And possibly has history with.
There's the pack of friends.
Right.
There's the couple friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's the girl that's part of a couple.
Right.
There's just, you know, sometimes mother, daughter go out there.
Couples are barely part of the scene, though. They're like, once you become a couple, you become invisible to the bar.
Oh, okay.
Not,
I see where you're going.
You're not, like, interesting anymore.
You gotta be holding a drink, talking loud, sitting in the middle. Look at me. Look at me. I'm at the bar. I'm having fun. I'm drinking a lot.
Sitting at the bar face to face, hands on each other's knees. That's a couple move.
Mm. Yeah.
The group of girls, terrible.
How about overly touchiness at the bar?
Girls or guys?
Just in general. Just like, no. No.
What about the guy who wants
unwanted
to hug
contact.
You? The guy who wants to hug you?
Ooh.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Bring it in. Like, hey, that's my buddy. Come here, give me some. I'm like, no, like, fuck you, dude. I don't want to touch you.
No, not a big hug guy.
No, I'm not a big
hug. I don't throw hugs out, but I really decline a hug.
I'm starved for human contact, though, so maybe.
Ugh, man.
How long have we been doing this for?
47.
This is a pretty solid podcast.
Yes,
sir. We're done. See ya.